In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you, who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. When we leave the church on a Sunday after having offered our praise, our worship, our confession and oblation, that is the qurbana, the sacrifice without blood, we feel as though we've done our tour of duty for our Christian life, right? Our relationship with God, our love, our respect, our obedience to Jesus Christ and his church, right? We feel that that's it. I've done my duty. We become that one or two or three-hour Christian for that week. That's what we actually allude to when we claim that I go to church every Sunday. The exercise of going to church must not be limited to or pertain to a mere one day a week, namely Sunday, body physically experience. We must be engaged in a living body, mind, and soul experience of the church, and that on all the days of the week. Going back to our opening statement, that is what we offer during church service on a Sunday, namely in the body, because half the time our minds have drifted away, our spirit is somewhere else, and our soul is yearning for food. St. Paul encourages that this act or Christian obligation of offering should be a living one, should be alive. It should be continuous, daily, and not only physically, but rather spiritually and mentally. Our scripture verse is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, Paul writes, I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies living sacrifices. Now, this is after he warns the Gentiles in Rome in chapter 11, verse 21, that if God did not show pity upon the natural branches, that is the Israelites, the Jews, surely he will not show pity upon you. That means don't boast, lashaklitun pataraba, don't take face. He then beseeches that they offer a bodily sacrifice, let's put it that way, but a living bodily sacrifice. That's not it. There's more to it, but just be patient. Now let's take these verses upon ourselves. St. Paul is talking to you and I. Which body is he talking about, beloved? Well, your body that was fashioned in your mother's womb by God. Psalm chapter 139. Verse 13, because you have prepared my kidneys, that is you, O God, have prepared my kidneys, and you have carried me from the womb to my mother. Your body that was presented to the Lord on the eighth day after your birth, in order to remove the old man, which is corrupted by deceitful desires. Hence the signing of the cross from the bottom to the top, which denotes a circumcision, a taking off. When the priest signs the child, he signs from the bottom going upwards. And there's a reference to that in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when the eighth day were completed, that the boy, that is Jesus, should be circumcised, his name was called Yeshua, Isho, Jesus, which he was called by the angel before he would have been conceived in the womb. It's the same thing, beloved, when we bring the child and offer him to the Lord. after 8 days, Roshma, Marshamta. Colossians chapter 2, verse 21, and you are circumcised in him, in Jesus Christ, by circumcision that is without hands, in the putting off of the body of sin by the circumcision of the Messiah Christ. To be named, to be signed, to be set apart. So that body, St. Paul is talking about, that body that was presented to the Lord to receive this gift. From the prayer of the Roshma, of the signing, the priest recites, your grace has gathered him or her in the life-giving net, which is the church, and will lay him or her in the holy vessel of absolving baptism, that from there he or she may be born with a new and a spiritual birth. See, the liturgy of the church is all biblical. Paul is talking about your body, which was buried, which was put to death with him, with Jesus Christ, in baptism into death, Romans 6:4. Clothed with Christ, Galatians 3:27. That is, becoming the child of God, that body. For, says SJC, that is St. John Chrysostom, if Christ is the Son of God and you put him on, having the Son inside yourself and being made like him, you have been made one, listen to this, in kind and form. Wow. God created man, our race, in his image and his likeness. Through baptism, the children of God, through Christ, receive the kind and form of Christ. That's why we are called Christians. We are Christ's on earth, just as we are God's. We are divine. We become Christians through Christ. That body, beloved. The body which is dead, signed in front of the altar of God, and receives the Holy Spirit in its fullness, that body, your body. Hence the confirmation of the adoption of sonship in baptism, just as the Holy Spirit ascended onto Jesus Christ after his baptism in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. You receive that confirmation, the laying on of the hand, chutama, we say, confirmation, and you receive that body that received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes, that body that you prepared for a specific occasion this morning. Look at it. Look at it in the mirror. If you are in front of the mirror, if not, if you're driving, pull aside, tilt the rear view mirror and look at it. Stop your vacuuming, give or stop, and look in the mirror. That body. Do that for a few seconds. Yes, that body Paul is talking about. What do you see there? What do you see in the mirror? Is it offered as a living sacrifice? And not a one-time slaughter to die, no. Not a one-time suicidal sacrifice, no. Not like the animal sacrifices, they were killed and eaten and finished. No, this is supposed to be a living sacrifice. Not the one-time dukhrana food serving service, that once a year you do at church. No, this is a continual, consistent, sequential offering of sacrifice. Let me ask you, and please, be honest with yourself. Okay, I'm going to give you a few seconds to prepare yourselves and promise me that you will be honest with yourselves. Did you pray this morning? Where were you last night? What were you doing last night? What were you watching last night? Would you classify that it was a sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God? Well, everything that I said is done with the body and the body parts. I'm going to leave that to your conscience and honesty with yourself. Now, you may be asking, how does the body become a sacrifice? St. John Chrysostom writes, let the eye look on no evil and it has already become a sacrifice. This is what the members are not to do. The members of the body are not to do. This is what we are not to do with our body. The eyes look on no evil thing, and it already has become a sacrifice. Let the tongue say nothing filthy, and it has become an offering. Let your hand do nothing evil, and it has become a whole burnt offering. But even this is not enough, for we must have good works also. And he continues, the hand must do alms, charity. The mouth must bless those who curse it, and the ears must find time to listen to the reading of scriptures. And he concludes, sacrifice allows of no unclean thing. It is the first fruits of all other actions. Okay, relax. I know. Yeah, Rabbi, you're repeating yourself. You've quoted this already in other episodes. Fine, sure, yes, I admit. I stand corrected. But let me ask you, what did you do with this quotation? Has it been active, alive, or was it only during the listening of the episode where you shook your head and said, yeah, that's right. Or maybe at best for a few hours after listening. Now, St. Paul doesn't stop at sacrifice, but expands and includes the adjective a holy sacrifice. Off the bat, since our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, what is performed by it, how it is being portrayed, etc., must be our offering of the sacrifice that is holy, meaning set apart for the glory of God, set apart for the pleasure of God, set apart to serve God, used only for the glory of God. Just as our church temples, well, our altars are consecrated, set apart for the service of the Lord, the sacramental service of the Lord. Just as the lambs were offered to God, they were unblemished and pure. Just as Jesus, the Lamb of God, with a definite article, there's no other lambs, beloved, only Jesus Christ is the pleasing Lamb of God, was holy and undefiled. We too, our sacrifices with our bodies must be holy and undefiled. There must be a holy and undefiled body that will offer that sacrifice, which will be pleasing to God. So, another question. Your entire body, your entire anatomy, the members of your body, how, for what, and where are they being utilized? Now, that's talking about body. What about the spirit and the mind? Well, St. Paul continues to say that our living, quote-unquote, living, continual, daily sacrifice of the body is one that is acceptable to God by a logical or a rational service. That is, a service of our soul, our spirit, our behavior. Our spirit and rational sacrifices in the true faith which we offer during the Divine Liturgy. And that is what we offer during the Divine Liturgy, the celebration of the Divine Liturgy. Look at what the priest prays, and you hear this, our hearts being sprinkled and cleansed from an evil conscience. There's one body part, my heart. God who purges the heart. Our hearts being sprinkled and cleansed from an evil conscience, may we be made worthy to enter into the Holy of Holies, not physically, we've done it physically, but imitating the spiritually. That means let our sacrifices, our service, with a pure heart, attend and be present before your throne that is in the kingdom of heaven, the high and exalted, and in purity, excellence, and holiness, may we stand before your holy altar and offer to you spiritual and rational sacrifices in the true faith, the Orthodox faith. See, these are all scriptural, beloved. So the sacrifice of the mind, of the soul now, is our worship. John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus states it, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth. The liturgy, the order. But this, beloved, is not to be a one-time service and offering at church for a couple of hours. Keep this in mind. It must be a living, a continual, a daily offering. In verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, Paul now continues, and do not, after we offer this body as a holy and pleasing sacrifice, we are not to imitate this world, but be transformed by the renovation of our minds, and we should distinguish what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is the pattern of this world? What is imitating what of the world? The fashion of the world, the pattern of the world, St. John Chrysostom writes, which is groveling, it's creeping. The world is creepy. Beloved, don't for a second wait and anticipate and believe that the world would change. I was preaching this on Wednesday in the Eucharistic service. Let us not for a second think that one day the superpowers, the United Nations, the governments, those who hate Jesus Christ, those who don't accept Jesus to be the Son of God, one day everyone will accept it, unless God then forcefully permits this or brings this into fruition. But it won't. The world is creepy. It's worthless. And temporal, that's why it will end, it will melt. And if you don't think so, then you need to have a mind renovation, beloved. If you think the world is it is ultimate, it is the best, that we can receive, well then, you will not be able to distinguish what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me give you an example, beloved. Now, since we're discussing a living sacrifice of the body, let me give you an example in a question form. Listen to this very carefully, and I hope it doesn't offend and disappoint and cut a few people. And if it does, I'm not sorry. Just as Paul writes, I'm not sorry to grieve, to disappoint. I just pray that that grievance and disappointment then produces repentance. Enhancing your body, that is, various body parts, for the sole purpose of beauty, glamour, and attraction in any way, shape, or form, and not for medical reasons, must imply that you are not content with how God created, fashioned your body. You are basically implying that God got it wrong. How can you tell me, how can you justify that it is a living and holy sacrifice? You know what I'm talking about, and I don't want to go too specific as there may be underage listeners. But let me put it this way. We're talking about sacrificing your body, the body members. Enhancement, enlarging pills and procedures. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, right. Holy and pleasing sacrifice to God, are they? No. Tisk, tisk, tisk. No, beloved. For glamour and beauty. Well, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30 states, beauty is false. Beauty is false, and favor is empty. But a woman or a man that is in the awe of the Lord God, he or she will be praised. We need a renovation of the mind in order to discern the will of God and not appease the view of man. We have that tool, beloved, and that tool, the mechanism, lack of a better term, is discernment. We have that spirit of discernment. Through the Holy Spirit, we have that gift, and that Holy Spirit that you received in baptism. We spoke about that previously. That Holy Spirit that Christ sent from the Father to grant us the wisdom, the knowledge, the strength, the discernment, the prudence. John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus states, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything, and he will remind you of all that I say to you." He will remind you of this episode when you want to enhance, when you want to glamorize and beautify for glamour and beauty purposes. I'm not talking about medical purposes. Now, you know what? I think that is a lentil, a soma and a prayer point. A soma and a prayer point. Lord, grant me the discernment while attempting to offer my body as a living and holy sacrifice. Grant me the discernment. So once again, I'll leave you with this. Go back to that mirror, beloved. Look at it and ask yourself, how is this vehicle, you want to call it, this living organism, this body, this soul, this spirit, this mind that is within the body, how is it being offered as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God? Praise be to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.